According to Mark Silk, white conservative evangelical churches have become, across the South, the organizational engine for the Republican Party, the way labor unions became the organizational engine for the Democratic Party in the industrial heartland during the 1930s. Others likened the constituency benefits of the Bush administration's faith-based initiatives in funding public services through church-related groups to the advantages Democratic constituencies enjoyed from the Works Progress Administration outlays of the New Deal years or the War on Poverty under Lyndon Johnson. Activists on both sides see political culture wars turning into theological soul wars. Liberal evangelist Jim Wallace commented in 2004 that we are now in a debate for the heart and soul of what it means to be religious and political. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention observed that a fault line ran through the denominations, with moral absolutists on the one hand versus those who see shades of gray on the other. Religion's role is increasing and will only continue to increase. To conservative Dr. Janice Krause of Concerned Women for America, the religious gap really is a divide along faith lines, I think. It's a divide that says there are human solutions to our problems and there are faith-based solutions. Under Bush, this new political theology also began to reshape America's dialogue with the rest of the world. Jacques Delors, the former European Commission president, added that the clash between those who believe and those who don't believe will be a dominant aspect of relations between the United States and Europe in the coming years. Dominique Moisy, another well-known commentator, shed light on the U.S.-European divergence. The combination of religion and nationalism in America is frightening. We feel betrayed by God and by nationalism, which is why we are building the European Union as a barrier to religious warfare. Within the United States, the religious mobilization of 2004 was extraordinary. In the South, voting by regular church attenders soared, partly because Republicans sought high November turnout among the faithful to ensure against another failure to carry the national popular vote as in 2000. Supposedly tight states, such as Florida, Tennessee, and Arkansas, turned out not to be. However, in the spring, as tight races became likely between Bush and Kerry in Pennsylvania and the Midwest, the Bush campaign and its religious allies had stepped up their efforts. In June, GOP emails leaked to the press describing how Bush forces planned to enlist churches around the nation in distributing political information and registering voters. In Pennsylvania, the Bush-Cheney campaign sought to identify 1,600 friendly congregations where voters friendly to President Bush might gather on a regular basis. Even Richard Land thought that went too far, and the Reverend Barry Lynn, executive director of the liberal Americans United for Separation of Church and State, observed, "I never thought that anyone could so attempt to meld a political party with a network of religious organizations." However, this was only the tip of a large iceberg, and the administration's religious allies were often out in front rather than waiting for instructions. According to a post-election analysis by the Washington Post, national religious leaders and their lawyers also made a concerted effort to persuade pastors to disregard the warnings of secular groups about what churches can and cannot do in the political arena. Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, which was launched in the 1990s by Pat Robertson, advised in a mailing to 45,000 churches that short of endorsing a candidate by name from the pulpit, they were free to do almost anything. And he later told the Post that thousands of clergy members gave sermons about the election, and that many went further than they ever had before. Catholics were a particular target across several states in the industrial belt. Overall, the GOP campaign appointed 50,000 Catholic team leaders at the local level, and while meeting with the Pope in June, Bush asked the Vatican to push the American Catholic bishops to be more aggressive politically on family and life issues, especially a constitutional amendment that would define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. During the summer, the National Catholic Reporter posted a story on its website that the Republican National Committee had asked pro-Bush Catholics to provide its Catholic outreach unit with copies of their parish directories to help identify potential supporters.